Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday. 251-343-0106. Want to be in touch with the show? All you got to do is text me. We got a bunch of texts to get to. We'll get to those in just a moment. On my limited scope here, the things that count my attention, the Blanche nomination to AG, it sounds like Cassidy is going to be a yes vote. So Todd Blanche ought to be the next AG. That paves the way for that to happen. He just made the announcement on the floor. And there's a lot of long faces on MS Now right now and CNN. But I thought this was kind of a done deal. But sounds like that this is the way that is going to go. Also, Fauci Gate, what can be done? I mean, he got a presidential pardon. He's stonewalling. Will we ever really know what happened there? That's something we're going to talk about with Jerry Carl here in about a half hour, our 10:30 guest. I'm telling you guys, Carl was on this early, at least with the suspicion of saying things publicly as a member of Congress. When we had to trust the science. We're all in this together. Stay 6 feet apart. And, when the trust in your institutions deteriorates, and that includes government, and that includes this, you know, we have to surrender all in what was perceived to be this emergency situation. And it turns out that they weren't very straightforward with us. And do we think if there's ever another pandemic, a global pandemic, that people are going to go along with it the way they did with COVID-19? Especially the way the Democratic Party used it to its benefit. So I think this is important stuff. That there may be a lot of people out there who trusted the government and maintained that trust. There's a lot of people whose trust has deteriorated because of COVID-19 and because of what we were told by our policymakers, that, you know, the unlimited resources of the American federal government show this and you must do this. And how many people lost their way of life, their means, their business? How many lives did this disrupt? When we didn't have the transparency, we were told, hey, you will go along with this or you'll be castigated from society. Even our own governor. So I got that. And then here locally, create a little bit of a buzz. The city of Fairhope's flirting with the idea of breaking away from Baldwin County school system, which has been talked about for a while. But as we learned with the Orange Beach experience, it comes with a price tag. And will the citizens here in the city of Fairhope, are they willing to absorb that? And what I think is already kind of high property taxes, sales taxes, et cetera. Will you get a distinguishable improvement in quality of education? Is it for the public good? What is to be gained out of this breaking away? Because now look, the Baldwin County school system is not lived up to maybe a lot of people's expectations. And it's, you know, something that big is just going to have its pseudo scandals, and you have bad actors. And I just think when we talk about government, and as conservatives, we want smaller government. Breaking up a big government bureaucracy may not be a bad thing, but to get there, it's not going to be easy. So what are the pros and the cons? And like I said, I could go either way on that. And I live here. Let's get through some text here. Mike, welcome back. It looked like y'all had a great trip. I was kind of hoping you were going to have one of those Appalachian snake handling pastors to piggyback off of yesterday's host guest. Also, Wrigley has been my favorite as well. We got to sit four rows up from third baseline for our first anniversary, but that was 20 years ago. We sat, the tickets were cheap on Sunday, and now I know why. There's a lot of obstructed views at Wrigley. It's just an old ballpark. And the way they, the support beams for the upper deck go right through the middle of a, the seats behind home plate. And we have a 5-year-old, it's kind of short. We had to kind of, you know, move around to see. Still great view. And then the, he really enjoyed the hijinks and the grants in the outfield bleachers. General admission, and that is such an inconvenient system they have. It's first come, first serve. The seats aren't assigned. And the thing I noticed about Wrigley kind of being a destination, I mean, it's not like Nationals Park or something. A lot of Yankees fans on Sunday and a lot of Dodgers fans on Monday. The Dodgers are very excited. They're having a good season. And they seem to have won the trade deadline, beginning Tarek Skubal. But they're in kind of a losing skid right now. But a lot of Dodgers fans travel to Chicago. Our hotel is full of Dodgers fans. But the hijinks, 5-year-old enjoyed at Wrigley. They were doing this thing, and he couldn't get enough of it. And they drink a lot of beer at Wrigley. And these sections were taking their beer cups and building cup chains. And they were getting enough beer cups stacked so high that they were reaching to the next section. And once they made it to the upper deck or whatever you want to call it, out the outfield, it was a very exciting thing. Which... me, I'm like, hey, there's a baseball game here. But you got to see a couple of the, I think, the best players of our time. Pete Crow Armstrong for the Cubs and Shohei Ohtani for the Dodgers. Of course, we saw Freddie Freeman, former Brave. And the Cubs won, and that also was unique. Damn Yankee, Lewis Order never went to jail. Fauci will probably never go to jail either. But at least the truth or something closer to the truth has come out. COVID was not deadly unless you had a significant illness to start with. The Democrats tricked us. They used it to their advantage, and they changed the election laws. They did. Did they manipulate the system in a way to create this fear? To make the election more obtainable for them. And I think absolutely. They, Democrats, historically have had a turnout problem. Over and over and over again. And they made it, in some states, they created a system where you didn't have to leave your house to vote. They didn't get away with it. You know, I remember the 2020 election, and I voted at Daphne. And we had kind of gotten over and past the whole COVID experience at the time. It was November. And just you don't see this in Alabama, where you had to wait in line to vote, typically. But I remember like an hour and a half wait to vote. maybe it was just the social distancing and the way they had to allow so many people in at a time. It made it a little more time consuming. But with that, did they suppress the Republican turnout? No, Alabama didn't matter. John sends me a clown costume. Someone dressed as a clown. I'm not sure what that pertains to. Ricardo, Todd's a little emotional today. Don't mess with the governor's main man. Keep the questions light. Seriously, I you know, what do you expect out of BCA and trying to make a segment out of it? And we didn't really game plan before the segment, so my apologies. Jason, good morning and welcome back. Ivy's boy didn't seem like he wanted to be here today. I don't think he ever wants to be here. Ricky, good morning. We know Fauci lied, so where is the $2.3 trillion go to? And $800 billion in stolen loans and check all the senators and Congress that made millions off of COVID-19, false flag, plan to kill us all, and rob our country out of $2.3 trillion. Thank you for the input. Oh, hell, you're going to give church pew salesman credit on the Dr. Fauci and the COVID scam? Come on, man, please. I think he gets credit for at least suggesting there was something untoward. Yeah, he took some heat for that, too, from my radio colleague, Dale Jackson. Because Dale had him on, he kind of confronted him on it. Like, why are you making these allegations about Anthony Fauci when you don't know that he was doing something untoward or illegal or wrong? And Jerry's response was, well, yeah, but none of this makes sense. So he gets credit for this. He may not have gotten the specifics, but he at least knew something was up. And at the time, that was a lot of us will talk radio or saying it. Yeah, no big deal at all. You guys on the text line probably were too. But there was a real PR campaign behind this. And if you dare stepped out of line, they wanted to make an example out of you. How many newscasters lost their jobs? Like Trish Regan lost a job on Fox Business. A lot of people were like, what's going on here? Because it was one of these times when, you know, the Fourth Estate is supposed to be the one asking the questions and being skeptical, but we were told, well, if this is an emergency, your Fourth Estate duties are changed. You are now tell people they need to get with the program and do the right thing. And if anybody dare questioned it, we're going to make you an outcast. You're going to lose your job, your way of life, your way of living. There was a lot of that going on. The governor here, Dr. Scott Harris. And the other thing about it, there never was an apology. Not at least a satisfying apology. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. I learned the path to heaven. It's full of sinners and believers. Learned that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. Heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves, and their slow-moving dreams. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Coming up in the next segment, Jerry Carl, and we'll hear about the campaign as the election approaches on August 11th, and we'll talk Fauci as well. I'm going to roll through some of these texts real quick as we got a little time here. Fire Dog, I lost my job in 13 years, which I love. The company nearly went bankrupt and eventually got bought out by a large company. 6 years later, I'm still not making what I made at that job. Where do I get that back? Talk about COVID. Yeah, and a lot of people had similar circumstances. I had to live through that. Ben, Fairup doesn't have the tax base to fund its whole system, even if they raise them. I don't know. I mean, Ben, the thing is, how do these other systems around the state in much different economic, but I would argue even lower medium incomes, and they're able to have their own city schools. And I hear this from a lot of people when I bring this topic up about the possibility of Fairhope breaking away from Baldwin County. Now, like, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach did it. And, yes, they have high property values. But how does, like, Satsuma do it? How do these other municipalities pull it off? Are you telling me Fairhope can't? Let's see here. Carl voted for employers to make their employees receive the mandatory vaccines. He continues, the city council can't even move sexually explicit books from the minor section to the old section. Do you think they're capable of being in charge of an entire school system? They would be appointing our Board of Education, not be elected position any longer. And then Corey said it's called a beer snake. Well, they were calling it like a cup chain or something in the stands. Maybe that was a Dodger thing. Back to the schools, and I'm with you on that. There was a very, very hands-off approach with the public library at Fairhope. And this is something that they want. It's going to be very controversial. But you know something? What do you think the people in Fairhope, if you put it to a vote, they would probably go along with it? We haven't really game planned that. I that's just my early hunch. The question is, you form a municipal system, and there's parts in this feeder pattern that are set outside the city limits. What happens there? But that's getting into the weeds. Toothless Bammer, Comerica, we were sitting the same area as your Twitter photo on the other side of home plate. We were there for two games, Tuesday night and Wednesday, section 235, I think. Comerica, we had decent seats. We were sitting right there behind home plate. Now, the five-year-old prefers outfield because that almost guarantees him the opportunity to get a ball. That's become a game. And I thought it was just a him thing, but we made friends in Cleveland and in Atlanta, and the other kids have kind of got the system down too. In fact, we were in Cleveland, the friends he made, it's like three kids, they had made posters trying to get a ball, and it seemed to work for them. See, we were at section 181, but that's Cleveland. Where were we at Comerica? I'm trying to look. We were in 125, so we were just down from kind of where you were. Toothless Bammer. We got to ride the carousel. They had a carousel with all Tigers. That was the last game before a Scooble with the next day. It was right before they traded him away in Mize. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Would you please just go away? I can't. to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show? All you got to do is hit me up on the text line. Still to come, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's in about an hour. So please stick around for that. But joining us now, he's a candidate in AL1. The vote's on Tuesday. So we're going to get like one more kind of last round here with some of the candidates. But Jerry Carl, former congressman here in the 1st Congressional District, joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for hopping on. I was thinking about this, and, man, you took some heat for this, and you know, early. When we were, like, kind of starting to do kind of a critical analysis of Dr. Anthony Fauci and some of the advice he was given, the guidance he was given to both administrations, the Trump and the Biden administration, and you're very skeptical of it, and you were asking questions about, you know, what was motivating some of this. And you know, here we are today. We think we know a little bit more about what happened there. But do you feel like you were onto something at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I've used common sense. I mean, I've been a businessman my whole life. So when something comes up, I always look at it from a business standpoint. How can we make money on it? How can we increase it? I mean, the standard questions that a businessman would look at it. But with Fauci, you know, it was more my mind of why. You know, why would he be doing this? He's in a position that he's supposed to take care of us and provide security to our healthcare industry by giving advice. But, you know, it took me back to financially, and I still say that, and I think I've got a remedy for it too. But financially, why was he doing some of this stuff? I think he made a tremendous amount of money off of it. I think I'll give you one simple example: 3M mask. Do you remember when he came out on a Wednesday? I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. He said the only masks that really work are these 3M masks. That was it. Now, what I want to know is how much 3M stock he had bought the week before or days before. You know, he actually came out and said that. Now, we, as private citizens, we, you know, what we invest in and what we buy is our private, that's our own private business. As an elected official, it's not. We have to disclose all of that, and that's fine. But as an individual, he has the right to do that and not disclose that. I think the state attorney generals in some of these states need to sit down and look very closely on what violations that, from a state standpoint, that they can pull him into a court and get access to his financial information. I think that will answer a lot of questions. And that was my stance then. That is my stance now. It is a financially motivated conversation that he was having every day, and he led us down that trail. Now, he's got a pardon from Biden. There's not much we can do on a federal level. As much as we want to do, all we can do is publicly shame him, and that's what they did in Congress. But I think on a state level, if we can get our attorney generals to do a deep dive into, you know, how he hurt us as a state or as a city, and there's, in my mind, there's plenty to go after, and actually get access again to his financials. That's where we can get a little bit of skin back, because he certainly skinned us all up. I took office in the middle of the pandemic, and as an elected official, it was complete confusion. I mean, we had to, I don't know how to put it into words, but I'm excited the fact of going back and actually having a control or a friendly president in office. And, you know, I can deal with the business. I can't deal with that healthcare scare. I don't think this country will go through it again. I the next one may be for real, but I don't think we're going to line up and follow that train of thought anymore.
And that's important. And I said this earlier, like, we have a real trust deficit, and the next pandemic, let's assume it's worse. I mean, you know, who knows, but we know it's possible. then people are going to shrug it off. I think it's sort of like this hurricane season, and people evacuate, and then after a while, I'm just going to ride it out. I think you're going to have that mentality here, even though we're 6 years or 5 years removed from the height of it. You still have this trust deficit you got to overcome.
And I believe that's going to be around definitely for the next 20 plus years. But,
everyone's doubting the federal government as a whole. And I don't blame them. I think we should always question the federal government and what they do. Being on the inside looking out, I think sometimes some of the things that we focus on, a particular vote, for example, you get hammered if you make the wrong vote. The thousands of votes that any elected official makes, they're apt to make a mistake. It's just going to happen. Don't throw them under the bus because of one vote. And I'm not talking about just myself, but just elected officials in general, because we are human. We do make mistakes. Hopefully we learn from it. But I'm excited again. We've got an election Tuesday, and Lord knows we need some people to turn out and vote. We're looking for a very, very low vote turnout. Most of the folks that should know are talking around 5%. Think about that. You're going to allow 5% of the population to decide who your next congressman is going to be to represent you in Washington. That's embarrassing. And that will be the story. He won by 5% on this, and that's going to be an embarrassing story.
One more on the COVID thing, and then we'll talk election. But the gain of function research and that angle of it, that maybe Fauci wasn't up front. Was that something that was on your radar?
I always question. I've grown up in the healthcare field, and I understand healthcare is fashionable. So I'm always questioning it. Science will always try to stay ahead, but sometimes it gets behind. But we all knew where it came from. Nobody wanted to talk about it. It's like it's going to be the Third World War if we talked about it being truly from China and being used as a tool of war. Well, I don't think it was. I think it was our money. Financing, obviously, the lab over there, and it leaked out. I think that's the true story there. And of course, Fauci's trying to hide from that. But I don't think when it started, any of us had any idea what was going on. They're blaming bats and, all the stories that were coming out. I remember HIV when it first started. In HIV, everybody was talking about it being monkey related, And that was where my mind was at, but I had no idea. I don't think anybody had any idea that the roots run this deep is what we're looking at today.
Well, and, that's the other one more quick thing here. I never thought China really got any sort of punishment or, they never paid a penance for this. And we were very, very reluctant to point the finger at them. What was the reason for that? Why didn't they face some kind of sanctioning or something? And everybody was, oh, no, you can't. That's anti-Chinese. You can't be that way. That's racist or whatever, xenophobic or whatever.
Well, at this point, China's our biggest biggest enemy, maybe not military-wise, but definitely when you start talking about information, you start talking about production, manufacturing. So we're being very sensitive towards that. I've never been a China fan. I never will be. I've got my own personal beliefs about China. I think China's going to do everything they can do to destroy, our republic. That's what they're truly about. I mean, they're about communism. You look at what's being stirred up in New York and California with a new Democrat communist social party. I mean, that's all got to be, it's driven by money out of China. I mean, there's so many things, most people think, they hear these things, they say, oh, that's just a, you know, that's just his opinion. I don't believe that. You know, those of us that are in the loop, you know, when we say some things, I mean, I'm not one to chase after a conspiracy. It's just not in my personality. So I usually do a lot of research as much as I can on an issue before I give it my opinion. And it doesn't make me right. I'm just saying I do more than jump on social media and try to push stuff. But with this one, what Fauci should have done is stepped up front and said, we financed this. It happened in China. It's our fault as Americans. But it would have, I'm not going to add any, I shouldn't say this, but, you know, I'm sure they're probably looking at, oh, my gosh, you know, what's it going to cost us in lawsuits? And Fauci, knowing Fauci now, as we know him, he's such a narcissist. You know, he would have, it would have been all about his reputation, you know, as it goes down in history. And I think his reputation going down in history is going to be horrible. And I don't think it's through yet. Most people don't know he lives on a 50-acre farm, literally in the suburbs of D.C. I have no idea what a place like that costs. It is very expensive, very expensive.
Joined by Jerry Carl here. He's a candidate in the 1st Congressional District. The vote's on Tuesday. Congressman, let's talk about the election and low turnout anticipated. But, you know, the game plan, I haven't seen any. I wouldn't trust any of the polling anyway if there were some polls. But there's just no way of knowing what to expect and what is believed to be going to be a low turnout event.
Yeah, well, you know, our race, I haven't polled it, and I don't think the other two candidates have polled it either. It is what it is, and we've got to keep pushing. It's at this point, it's all about turning our people out to vote. You know, Mobile County, please listen. If you live in Mobile County, you can vote in this election, period. It is the entire county, same with Baldwin County, same with Escambia County, and about 95% of Covington County. So we need folks to get out and vote. We're looking at a 5% vote turnout. That's embarrassing. And we have spent a lot of time as candidates, spent a lot of time and a lot of money reaching out to our base, encouraging people to get out and vote, encouraging people to reach out and touch other people to vote. I mean, this morning I was at a golf tournament. They teed off at 8 o'clock and I get there at 7 o'clock just to work the crowd, just to, you know, encourage them to get out and vote, make sure they know there's an election going on. I would say 50% of the people in your listening area do not know there's an election next week. And I have spent a tremendous amount of money to get that message out. So I hope we do better than 5%. If we do 10%, it will be great. It's a different situation in the other districts. Let me rephrase that. In District 2, It's a little bit different there because you've got so many candidates involved there that are spending money to get voters out. They should have a higher turnout than ours, purely because they've spent so much money as six or seven different candidates. So, but we're excited what we're seeing, but no polling done. I've seen some polling up in District 2, but Jeff, I've got to where I don't trust polls. I mean, whoever paid for the poll to be run, it's almost like they pay for it to be in their favor, and I just don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, you were down how many points in some of those polls in that May 19th primary?
We wound up winning it. We won it outright, not overall, but in a runoff situation, we would have been in great shape.
I mean, that's something. And then, you know, this was true in the statewide races. You know, the polling in the state, even if it's not pay to play, it's just objectively it's bad that the pollsters don't have the science down.
Well, they always try to make it leaning towards a person that ordered the poll because they need a second poll ran. I get it. I've been in business my whole life. I mean, you're trying to serve a customer there. But in reality, our last poll that we ran, and we had a D.C. Polling group, it cost us $18,000 for that poll, talking about the May election. They were within 1 point. So we had a good idea, and we ran that. Obviously, the election didn't count, and we'd already ran the poll, but we knew about where we were, and I felt comfortable with that. You want to believe what they give you. And they were within 1 point. So I just don't trust polls anymore. You know, and people like, you know, voting for me, they're going, oh, Jerry doesn't need our vote. He's got this. No, he doesn't need my vote. My gosh, that is the last thing I want to hear. Please, folks, vote. Please vote. I need every vote we can get. Every candidate does, for that matter. And I believe it's, you know, our constitutional obligation to get out and vote. Again, you let 5% of the population in District 1 determine who the next congressman's going to be, and that's basically what's going to happen. I mean, that's 15,000 people that are going to vote. Out of 770,000 constituents, only 15,000 are going to make that decision. There's just something wrong with that in my mind.
Congressman, folks want to find out more about your efforts or, you know, anything else they need to know, tell them where to look.
Oh, jerrycarl.com. I'd appreciate everybody getting out and vote, Jeff. I certainly appreciate you giving all of us candidates time. Jeff, I have decided when I come back, I'm going to come back as one of your children because we're all living through your children. You're the greatest father I have ever seen. So congratulations, Dad. You did a great job. And by the way, next time you leave me a contact number for you because I'm tired of people calling and texting me wanting to know when you're going to be back.
Well, you're very kind to say that. We got to get out of here. Congressman, thanks. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Hey, yes, we are beer takers. Yes, we are hellraisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Come and day alive like I do every night from the heart of Uranio. I play a little sad and I play a lot glad and a few old songs. Here's open everybody out in Radio Land. Find the love just as true as mine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So make sure you stick around for that. 251-343-0106 if you need to be in touch with the program. Mike writes, if the state of Alabama goes after Fauci, let's see, this is pull it up here. A little, there we go. The state of Alabama goes after Fauci for the First Amendment violations like some states are. They should also prosecute Meemaw and Scott Harris for the same violations. Interesting. Because if Fauci is culpable, then I don't know, maybe not as culpable. That's an interesting question, and maybe I need to do a little more thinking on that. Named Texter, why did I hear a Pfizer commercial telling people to get jabbed as Sean sold out? I didn't hear that. Maybe there's something different on the stream. Butterknife, I would think Satsuma does it through chemical plants and other large industries. Their school system, they just, I don't know about that either. I need text your older homeowners will vote no, while younger will vote yes. Older homeowners will win. Well, the older ones in this may vote yes because there's more of an institutional control element. I don't know. This is something the city needs to poll. And maybe they have, and we're just not aware. Leo. Welcome back, Jeff, and not to interrupt your sports ball, but is Mitch McConnell dead yet? I don't believe so. Ben, you have answered your own question. If Fairhope has to keep its in their city limits, then there severely reduces their money intake. There are many jurisdictions are not the same as the city limits. Yeah, but they would raise the property values inside the city tend to favor or tend to be a little higher than those outside the city. I'm really wondering about, I can see Fairhope totally doing this, but beyond the city limits, what, if you go to Fairhope Schools, the feeder pattern, what happens to you? What happens to you guys at Barnwell? What happens to you guys at Point Clear? Do they come along? Does the city try to get them into the city limits, or what? How does this going to work? But I don't know the details. This is all speculative right now. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.